o'clock Sunday evening in San Francisco and the West Coast, and it's time for Minds Over Matter. Dana Rodriguez, Lori Fisher, and Jerry Nachman will match wits with listeners on the Bay Area's favorite quiz show. Our telephone number is 415-841-4134 with your answers and questions tonight on Minds Over Matter.
Wrong, you're right. If it ain't day, it's night. If you ain't sure, you might. It's gotta be this or that.
Ladies and gentlemen, your moderator, Dana Rodriguez.
Thank you very much, Kevin. Maybe I should talk like that guy from Music from the Hearts of Space. Tonight we are having a wonderful time. Anyway, so welcome to Minds Over Matter. I'll throw that out. Welcome to Minds Over Matter. We hope you can spare us an hour of your time tonight because Minds Over Matter is an audience participation quiz program. And, of course, we are welcoming your participation. It's very, very important to us. So please give us a call as soon as you can at area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's area code 415-841-4134. And we do have a toll-free number, but I can't find the piece of paper it's on, so... Kevin, what's the toll-free number?
It's with your introduction.
Yeah, I know. I shouldn't have done that. It's 866 something or other. Anyway, all right, moving right along. And we do have a toll-free number. I'll give that to you in just a minute. But so, Minds Over Matter will be giving you questions on current events, movies, history, literature, geography, television, radio, and just about everything else. Possibly some Chinese history as well. And so we are welcoming your calls. So give us a call as soon as you can. Our email address is mindsovermatter. That's one word. mindsovermatter@yahoo.com. That's mindsovermatter, one word, @yahoo.com. And we welcome your emails. We don't read them during the show, but over the course of the week, and it's always great to hear from our listeners, so feel free to do that any old time. If you'd like to hear our show online, you can do that anywhere in the world, and I mean that literally, because Lori heard us in China, so...
A lot of listeners there.
Yeah. They'll practice their English.
They do.
That is at kalw.org. That's kalw.org. If you like a podcast of this show, God willing, it should be available afterwards. Also at kalw.org, along with some of our older shows. Any complaints along that line, please let me know, and I'll pass them along to the powers that be. So that being said, we're going to start with a round of introductions and a round of questions. And here's the first. This is like a short novel. Like a terrified dog cowering under the bed on New Year's Eve, Jerry Nachman spent part of the weekend imprisoned in the back room of his house. TV turned up to drown out the thumps and twangs from the Outlands concert miles away. Miles away. Next year, he plans to form a posse to drive the rowdy varmints out of town.
Wow. Thumps and twangs, huh? Both.
Oh, yeah. Thumps and twangs. Sounds like it, yeah. Law firm. Well, Lori Fisher has returned from China, surprised to report on the three things you rarely or never see at Chinese meals there. Rice, tea, and most happily, fortune cookies. It turns out those were invented in San Francisco in 1920.
Indeed. And our moderator, Dana Rodriguez, is often asked what he has to say for himself. And frankly, the answer is not much.
All right. Now, toll-free number is 866-798-8255. That is 866-798-8255. That is the toll-free number. So you have no excuse not to call. And we'll begin the questioning with Jerry Nachman.
Okay. Several people have won an Oscar, a Tony, an Emmy, and a Grammy. Who was the first?
Ooh. So who was the first to complete the foursome, huh?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You want to give us an era? Like when?
I don't exactly know when.
Okay.
Once more.
Who was the first person to win an Oscar, a Tony, an Emmy, and a Grammy?
Is this person still alive?
No.
Oscar, Emmy, Tony, Grammy. I don't know. First person. Go. You got something?
I got two possibles. Bob Fosse's done it.
And that's a good guess.
Yeah,
no,
he's not alive.
He's not alive. I'm going with the not alives.
That's a good guess, but no.
Okay.
Okay. All right.
It's somebody like, did Helen Hayes do it?
Yes. There are eight, and those are two of them, yes.
And is she the first?
No.
Oh, somebody did it before her.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay. There's eight who have done it. Is that right?
I think about that.
Can we ask if this person is basically a performer?
No.
You can't ask her. The answer is no.
Both. Yeah.
Okay. So they're more a behind-the-scenes sort of person.
Yeah.
Like Fosse. Fosse would be that kind of, right?
Well, he was a performer, but yeah.
But he didn't win any for performing. Right, no. All of his were for directing and choreography.
Yeah.
So it's going to be, is it a writer?
I'm not telling you anymore.
No. Right. Marvin Hamlisch, is it?
No.
I don't think he did all four, did he? Might.
Yeah, he did.
Did he?
Yeah, he did.
He's dead.
Yeah, he's dead too.
So he qualified. So he did it and he's dead.
All right.
Okay.
All right,
and it's not Hamlisch, huh?
No.
All right.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Eric from Union City.
Hello.
A couple questions.
Yes.
Now, actor Royal Dano has a place in Disneyland history. You know what it is?
Yes, he's the voice of the animatronic Abraham Lincoln.
Who is?
Royal Dano, the actor.
He played Lincoln in a miniseries back in the 50s.
Yeah.
He was very good. He looks just like him in his youth. Yeah.
D-A-N-O? Is that how it's
called? Yeah, D-A-N-O.
He has a son.
Is that Paul Dano's father?
I don't know. I that's a good question.
I sort of assumed
it's possible.
It was his son, yeah.
No, I don't know if it's son. Maybe a grandson or something. Yes.
All right, here's my other question.
Who
was Three Stooges member Curly Howard's favorite comedian?
Who is whose?
Curly. Who is Curly of the Three Stooges' favorite comedian?
Mo.
Yeah.
Is this somebody you wouldn't suspect? You know, possibly.
He's a TV comedian. I'll give you that.
Oh, TV comedian. Soupy Sales.
No.
TV has to be.
Is it someone in his genre of kind of slapstick stuff?
It was in the early 50s.
Pinky Lee.
Pinky Lee, yeah.
No.
Early. Red Buttons.
No.
Early 50s.
Are we in the right kind of thing?
Yeah.
You know, the right kind of...
He was fat like...
Jackie boy. Gleason, I was going to say. Gleason.
You're right.
There you go.
There you go. Okay.
Very good.
Thanks, Gareth.
Yeah.
And Laurie, you're up.
All right. Well, many of my questions, as you might imagine, have to do with China. I'm going to give you four songs that either mention China or China's in the title of the song.
You should explain that you just came.
Oh, yeah. And I traveled in China for a month and taught there and am recently back. And so I have China on my mind, hence my introduction.
All right.
So the first lyric says, they got a wall in China. It's 1,000 miles long. And I want to know what the title is of the song.
Is this a pop song?
Yeah. Pop song by a popular writer.
They got
a wall in China about 1,000 miles long. I'll give you all four. Out on the ocean, far from all the commotion, melting your heart of stone. Out on the ocean, far from all the commotion, melting your heart of stone. Well-known song. China's in the title of that. This one many people will know. You can take all the tea in China, put it in a big brown bag for me. And the last one is, I'm weary because no one seems to understand all those weird China blues.
Well, one of them has to be, I'd like to get you on a slow boat to China.
One of them is. You know which one?
You have to go over the whole list once
more. Okay, so the first one is, they got a wall in China. It's 1,000 miles long. Second one is, out on the ocean, far from all the commotion, melting your heart
of
stone.
Well, that must be it.
That is it.
Yeah.
All right. You know who wrote it?
Slow boat to China.
Who did that?
Frank Lesser?
Yes.
Yeah.
Frank Lesser.
Good job.
And I read in doing research for it that the term slow boat to China was a poker term. For reeling someone into a poker game who was going to lose a lot of money, and he made it a romantic thing.
I think he played a lot of poker.
He did.
Yeah. Well, a boat is a poker hand.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so it might be that. A slow boat. And then the other two were, you can take all the tea in China, put it in a big brown bag for me, and I'm weary because no one seems to understand all those weird China blues. Yeah, so I'm looking for...
Is that Limehouse Blues?
It is.
Okay.
Very good. 1922. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
That's a great
song. So we got the two old ones. The other two are more contemporary. The kids out there will know them. They're from the 60s.
We're the old ones, yes.
Quite the kids will
be
there.
Yeah.
All right. I'll do my questions here. All right. After Shakespeare, who is the most frequently quoted prose writer in the English language? This is according to the Oxford English Dictionary.
Shaw.
No. After Shakespeare, who is the most frequently quoted prose writer in the English language?
Is he English-speaking?
English-speaking, yes.
And this is a person who wrote plays and books rather than speeches. And so it's not Winston Churchill.
I think this is a person who dabbled in a lot of different things.
Okay. That's interesting. In the English language. In the English language,
yes.
How about Milton? No, that wouldn't be it.
No.
Yeah, Shaw's a good answer.
All right, once more. You had your guess.
Yeah.
I'll let you guess again. No.
Okay.
Another good guess, yeah.
And once more. After Shakespeare, who is the most frequently quoted prose writer in the English language, according to the Oxford English Dictionary? And second question, what is the most reproduced portrait in history? Who is it of? What is the most reproduced portrait in history?
This is silly. Somebody on currency? So like Lincoln or Mao Zedong or somebody like that? Because that would be very reproduced.
I think this person has been on currency, but I don't know if this particular picture of them has been on currency.
Okay.
So
it's a particular portrait.
Right.
Okay.
Napoleon?
Yeah. No.
How about George Orwell? Not for the portrait, for the quoted author.
Oh, no. No.
Okay. How about for the portrait?
No. So, once more, after Shakespeare, who is the most frequently quoted prose writer in the English language, according to the Oxford English Dictionary? And what is the most reproduced portrait in history? And who is it of?
I would say it's Mona Lisa, but it doesn't sound like we're in that genre of famous persons.
No, this is a real person, by
the
way.
Well, so is she.
So is she, yes. It's not Mona Lisa.
Okay.
Is that a photograph or a painting?
No, I'm not going to say.
Oh.
Portraits would suggest painting, I think.
And
yeah, I guess so.
Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Oh, good evening. Would Dr. Johnson be most frequently quoted?
That is correct.
Oh, wow.
Samuel Johnson. Very good.
Good work.
Excellent.
I have a question for you.
Yes.
What does the following combination of numbers signify? 6, 2, and 8.
Can you give us a bigger context? So it's not 6 + 2 = 8. It's going to be something better than that, right?
It's not a mathematical answer.
Okay.
Their numbers don't have anything to do with each other.
Okay.
But the combination put together, 6, 2, and 8.
6, 2, and 8. Huh.
Yeah. Can you put it in any sort of context? Is it historical?
It will be soon.
Ooh.
It's happening next year.
Oh.
Next year. So six, in 2015, huh?
6, 2, and 8.
In San Francisco and Marin counties.
Well, that'll be the new area code.
That's right.
Uh-huh. Really?
Very good, Jerry.
So both of them are getting that area code?
Yeah, they just announced that you were
still. There's new phone numbers given out.
They ran out of numbers.
New numbers in Marin, yeah.
So people getting a new number.
In Marin County, yeah.
Right.
It did not make the China newspapers.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Good evening, Sparky and Maddie. How are you all doing?
Hi.
Okay. Jerry, your first EGOT, Richard Rodgers.
Very good.
Oh, nice.
Did you know that, or did you just do a little cheating online?
No, he wouldn't.
Jerry,
Sparky wouldn't cheat.
Okay.
You wouldn't do that. I'm
Sparky
sorry,
knows the rules.
Very good, Sparky.
Thank you.
Excellent.
Anyway, Lori, you can take all the tea in China, put it on the bag. Isn't that Tupelo Honey by Van Morrison?
It is, yes. Sail right round the seven oceans and drop it straight in the deep blue sea. Good work.
Got it. And they got a wall in China. It's 1,000 miles long.
Yes.
That's Something So Right by Paul Simon.
It is indeed. Very good. Oh, to keep out the foreigners, they made it strong.
Yeah.
Very good. Wow.
It's a wonderful, wonderful tune.
It is.
And we are out.
All right. Thank you.
Bye.
Cleaned the board.
And if you'd like to join us, we have a couple of lines open at area code 415-841-4134. This is Minds Over Matter. We are here every Sunday at 7 p.m. at 415-841-4134. We also have a toll-free number, 866-798-8255. That's 866-798-8255. And our panel tonight is well-known Bay Area author Jerry Nachman. From Diablo Valley College and back from China, Lori Fisher, who teaches English. I'm your moderator, Dana Rodriguez, and you're listening to us on 91.7 FM. That's KALW, your local public radio station. And Jerry, it's your turn.
Okay, I'll give you some, I think, the mostly former slogans of various fast food chains. I have 10, and you tell me You tell me the chain. Eat up what you crave. Different is good. Do what tastes right. Gather around the good stuff. These are all chains that are out here, by the way.
Why do these always sound like orders?
They're commands.
Yeah, they eat up.
Yeah. Think outside the bun. That's the easiest one. The fire's ready. I never heard of
the fire's ready?
Yeah, the fire's ready. We treat you right. All American food. And eat fresh.
Well, the one I think I know.
Okay.
I'm down on my fast food lore. Think outside the bun. I think it's Taco Bell.
Correct.
Okay. Good job.
Very good.
And.
No, wait. Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Because they don't have buns.
Yeah, right. Okay.
Is all American food Denny's?
Wait a minute. No.
Okay.
Is Eat Fresh, is that Subway by any chance?
Oh, I think it is.
Let me see. I can't read my own writing here. Oh, God. Yes, Subway.
Okay.
Very good.
All right.
Excellent.
Because I don't know any of
it's
the
others. Current.
Is it?
I think so.
I think some are current, some are not, I think, yeah.
I'm terrible at these.
Okay, so you got two or three. Think outside the bun, Taco Bell, Eat Fresh, Subway, and did you get another one?
We got two total.
All right.
Two total.
So you should repeat the ones that haven't been answered.
Okay, yet. Eat up what you crave. Different is good. Do what tastes right. Gather around the good stuff. I never heard of that one. Think outside. Well, we got to think of that. The fire's ready. We treat you right, and all American food.
Mm. I don't eat much fast food.
Speaking of fast food, one of the biggest, nicest.
Yeah, but we're inundated by the slogan.
One of the biggest, nicest hotels in Shanghai was Howard Johnson's.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Mm. I don't see them here, but
they went out of business in America.
No, they're still around. There's not as many of them as there used to be.
They ran out of clams, fried clams.
Yeah.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, yeah. Well, I've had a couple of answers that I had sniped already, but I have a couple of questions for you.
Okay.
Okay. One, actually, so you had Dr. Johnson as the second most quoted person?
Right.
Ever. Who has the second most quotes in Bartlett's familiar quotation?
Oh, that's a good question.
The second most what?
So Shakespeare would be first, right?
Shakespeare first, and right. Well, the Bible. We're not counting the Bible,
right? So you want an individual author?
Who has the most entries? Exactly. Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
Is this person best known as a poet by any chance?
No.
Okay.
That's a great question.
All right.
Yeah. And this person wrote in English.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, I guess Oscar Wilde for Dana's question. Is it Oscar Wilde?
Is it?
For Dana's question, no, I thought the was Dr. Johnson, right?
Yeah. Right. No, but
I guessed it for his question.
So he was wondering.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, it's not Oscar Wilde.
All right. Okay. And it's not Shaw?
No, it's not Shaw.
Okay. And is this person best known as a writer?
Yes.
Hmm. Okay. And are they English?
English speaking.
You mean English?
No, I mean English.
As opposed to American.
No, they are not English.
Okay. How about Mark Twain?
That's Mark Twain.
Oh, very good.
Very good.
Very good.
Yeah. Okay. And one more question?
Yes.
Step time?
Yeah.
What was the subject of Norman Rockwell's last Saturday Evening Post cover?
Ooh. Oh, was it the astronauts?
No.
Can you give us a year, or is that too much?
I would give it away, probably.
Was it the one of the little black girl being led into the school?
No. So if the year would give it away, then it has some historical significance to it, like
exactly.
The bicentennial, like the Statue of Liberty or something.
No, it's actually about, I'll give you a clue. It's actually of a person.
Okay,
Kennedy.
Yeah,
Robert Kennedy or John Kennedy?
John Kennedy.
John Kennedy. It was December 14th, 1963.
And that's his last cover.
Oh. So he didn't do the astronauts then.
Huh. Right. Interesting.
No, not at all.
I thought
Thank
I
you.
Did. Okay.
All right. Not at all.
All right. Bye-bye. Thanks. Laura, your turn.
All right. So continuing on my China theme, I'm going to give you four movies all really well known, and either I'm going to give you a line for the movie. In one case, a cast, they're either mentioned China in the title or a city in China in the title. First three are lines from the movie. This line is, I know the vibration was not normal. What movie is that from? Second one is, course I'm respectable. I'm old. Politicians, ugly buildings, and horrors all get respectable if they last long enough.
And these all have China in the title.
They do. Or a city in China. Okay.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Third one is, quote, you've been traveling around the world too much to find out anything about it. And the last one is a cast, which includes Sophia Loren and Tippi Hedren. What movie that either has mentioned China or a city in China has Sophia Loren and Tippi Hedren in it? So here are the lines. I know the vibration was not normal. Second one is, course I'm respectable. I'm old. Politicians, ugly buildings, and whores, pardon the language, all get respectable if they last long enough. Third one is, you've been traveling all around the world too much to find out anything about it. And the fourth one is, Sophia Loren and Tippi Hedren starred in what movie that mentions China or a city in China?
Is the second one Lady from Shanghai?
Not the second one, no.
The one about the...
Not the second one. Oh.
No.
Oh.
The first one is China Syndrome, I think.
It is.
And the second one about the with horrors in it is, that's Chinatown. That's
it
John
is.
Houston's.
It's John Houston's great speech, yeah.
Right.
So one he said is Lady from Shanghai.
Right.
Not the one I chose, though.
So I'll give it. The third one is, you've been traveling around the world too much to find out anything about it. That is Lady from Shanghai.
Okay.
So we're left with, which movie starred Sophia Loren, Tippi Hedren, and perhaps other people as well?
And it had...
either China or a city in China, in the title. Pretty well-known movie.
A Countess from Hong Kong?
It is.
Oh, yes,
yes.
Of course.
I don't remember Tippi Hedren in
she
that.
She was in that?
She was. It's 1967, yeah. And so I was going to mention Brando's in it and Sidney Chaplin.
Yeah.
It's Chaplin's last movie?
Last directed movie.
Yeah, and written, yeah.
Right.
All right. Well, those are gone.
Okay.
Sorry, listeners.
All right. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter. Are you there, caller?
Hi, is that me?
It is you. Go ahead, please.
Oh, thank you. I have an answer.
Yes.
For the portrait. Has that been answered yet?
No.
How about Jesus Christ?
It is not Jesus Christ.
Oh, interesting. Thanks.
Thank you.
It's too many portraits,
probably. I was going to guess that, but that's...
This is a singular portrait, right?
It would be a dubious...
Yes. It's a I'll give you the name of the artist, even. Arnold Machin, or Machin, M-A-C-H-I-N, portrait of this person. Right. All right. I have a list, according to the independent bookstores across the United States. These are the most frequently stolen books by these authors. In other words, what I want are the five authors whose books are most frequently stolen in independent bookstores across the United States. They are all American. They are all fiction writers, primarily. And I think I'll give you that's all.
And this is collective, so it's not one title. It's like...
No, I'm not looking for the title. I'm just looking for the authors.
How about Abby Hoffman steal this book?
No, everybody says that, but it hasn't been in print for 30 years.
I know.
Well, it's because they're all stolen.
Catcher in the Rye?
No, I'm looking for the authors.
So the author.
I'd say Stephen King might be one.
No.
Okay.
Mm-mm. No. It's a little more... Fuck, what's the word I'm looking for? A little more of an intellectual bent than you would think.
Really?
Yes. A little more. So, again, I like the five authors whose books are the most stolen, according to independent bookstores across the United States.
So it's more Philip Roth than Stephen King, as far as temperament.
Yes, but yes.
No. Okay,
yes.
How about
yes.
Philip Roth?
No. No.
Okay, so that.
When's the last time you heard anybody trying to steal a Philip Roth book? they're all well-known authors, not necessarily like the huge, huge bestsellers, but very well-known authors.
How many are alive?
One.
Okay. So how about Hemingway?
No.
Oh.
No.
Are they all higher intellectually than we would guess, or just some few of them?
They're above the 50% line of intellectual ability.
They'd be taught in college, so college students might steal them. Not that my students would.
I think you would. Yes, I think they would could all be taught in college. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Mm. Yeah.
Which might encourage the stealing. You don't know.
Well, maybe.
I'm just guessing.
Maybe. Yeah. Not massively taught, but definitely read.
And these are independent booksellers, so this isn't the Barnes & Noble thieves.
Yeah, but I mean, there's not much left of the chains anymore, so it's independent booksellers is what's left.
That's why they're going out of business, is people are stealing.
So again, these are the five authors whose books are most frequently stolen from independent bookstores.
Give my last one, Fitzgerald.
No.
Ah.
No.
All right.
As I said, one is alive, and they're a little more current than you would think. I mean,
What about Shakespeare, like his collection of plays?
Nothing that old.
He said they're all American.
No, it's 20th century. It's strictly 20th century American stuff. And the number to join us is area code 415-841-4134, 415-841-4134. There is a certain... I don't want to give you too many hints on this.
A thread?
There's a slight outside the box quality to a few of them. So, all right, let's go to a call.
Are they all fiction writers, or you did?
They are primarily.
Okay.
Yeah. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi.
Hi, you're on.
Hi, The Portrait.
Yes.
George Washington.
Not George Washington. No.
No. Okay.
Is that it?
That's it.
Oh, well, thank you, though. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Robert and Karen in Bernal Heights.
Hi, Robert. Hi, Karen.
Hi there. So, let's see. First, for the portrait, would it be Queen Elizabeth or Queen Victoria?
It would be one of those.
One of those, because she's on a lot of stamps and currency and all over the place.
Well, which one?
I'm guessing Victoria.
No.
All right. Well, then it must be Elizabeth.
Yes.
Excellent.
Yes.
So I have a question for you.
This is Arnold Machen or Machen. Portrait of Queen Elizabeth has been reproduced 200 billion times since 1967. It is on the British stamp.
200 billion?
200 billion times.
Well, that sort of doesn't count because, you know.
Why does that not count?
I don't know. It seems like it should be.
You have to come up with a better reason than that.
Well, it violates the rules.
Well, stamps, you know, everybody buys. It's not an indication of popularity is what I'm saying.
I didn't say anything about
popularity. No, I didn't, but it sounds like it, it would be. Okay.
So I have a question for you.
Yes.
This is the birthday of the longest-running public service announcement in America in history?
Smokey the Bear.
Smokey Bear. Right. And he's not Smokey the Bear.
It's Smokey Bear, not the Bear.
How old is Smokey Bear?
70 years.
It started in the 40s, was it? 40s?
This is his 70th birthday.
Right. There was a story in the Chronicle.
This week.
Happy birthday, Mr. Bear.
Happy birthday, Smokey.
Yeah. Good job.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. Hope you're enjoying the show. We're here every Sunday at 7 p.m. And if you'd like to join us, the number is area code 415-841-4134. Or you can call our toll-free number, 866-798-8255, with a question or answer. And, Jerry, it's your turn.
Okay, this is kind of a two-part language question. What is the first part? What is the biggest French-speaking city in the world? It is not Paris or Montreal. And the second part is this. If I can find it. Oh, what country has the third most Jews after Israel and the U.S.? I mean, that's not a language question, but... Okay, so what is the biggest French-speaking city in the world? It is not Paris or Montreal. And what country has the third most Jews after Israel and the United States?
Both these questions have come up at some point.
Everything is.
I mean, I think it was years ago. I think the biggest French-speaking city is in Africa,
and it's bigger than Paris. That's astounding.
No, he didn't say bigger than Paris. There were
most speakers. Yeah.
Most
he
speakers.
Said more French speakers.
Outside of Paris.
Oh, you not, said outside not, of Paris. Okay.
Yeah, outside.
And it's not Montreal. So I want to say, like, was it Brazzaville?
No.
It's a former French city mm-hmm. and a French colony city in Africa, I have a feeling. Or I'll think of it. It'll come.
Okay.
And the other one, is that Argentina?
For the Jews? For the Jews?
No, it is not.
Okay. Go through those questions just once more. Would you?
What country has the third most Jews after Israel and the U.S.? And mm-hmm. what is the biggest French-speaking city in the world, not in landmass? And it is not Paris or Montreal.
How about Canada for the Jewish population?
Yeah, that's a good guess.
City.
I thought you said this country with
country,
the third most
said.
Jewish
Did
population.
Did I say I meant to say city? I'm sorry.
Because you said Israel and United States to set up the question
that's the French-speaking city in the world.
Right. So I'm answering the question about which country has the third most largest Jewish population?
Yes, that's country.
So you want a country.
I'm guessing Canada.
Oh, no.
Okay.
No. Okay. I forgot.
It's a long time to tell me
okay.
no twice.
Okay. Sorry.
All right.
I'm sorry. No, not Canada.
Okay. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, Ed. How are you?
Good.
So I'll ask some questions in my field, nuclear engineering.
Excellent.
But before that, I have a table in front of me. The biggest country with good Jewish people living in it is Israel. Second is the United States. The third is France.
Correct.
Oh,
very good. France.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I'll give you the number. Israel, 5,900,000. United States, 5,400,000, about. France, 480,000.
Oh, okay.
At this point, I'd like to say that before 1948, Cairo had the biggest population of Jewish, beautiful Egyptians, of any other country.
Of course, yes.
Yes, Cairo had over 100,000 beautiful Egyptians that just happened to have the Jewish face. And,
really?
Many of them were my relatives and my friends, and Professor Joseph Leto was as close to me as my dad.
Really?
Anyway, so okay. my question to you today is, let's talk about countries. I'll give you either old or current name of a country, and tell me what is it. So the first one is Alemannia.
Alemannia, that's Germany.
Perfect, very good. And it's really, it means all men and all German.
That's what the French call Germany.
Yeah. How about most other countries actually call Germany Alemannia. Nimsa.
Nimsa?
Yeah. NIMSA. The actual name is European country, but the name is very different. I'll give you a hint because I don't want to take so much time. It is famous for banking.
Switzerland.
Yes. Okay. Third one is Kemet.
Spell it?
Oh, I've heard of this.
Kemet. There's a publication you can buy from libraries, including Berkeley. There's a division in Berkeley which have a beautiful magazine called Kemet, which refer to this country. So let's pass this one. How about Anatolia?
That's Turkey.
That's Turkey. Okay. Kemet is Egypt.
All right.
One last question, very quickly, it is important. Which produces more radioactive radiation on the atmosphere? The Hiroshima bomb or the Fukushima blast, the accident, Fukushima? Which one produced more radiation on Earth?
Well, the way you asked the question makes me want to say the Fukushima blast.
Definitely. By how many times?
Oh, well,
really?
I don't know.
Is that right?
10 times.
Yeah.
Wow.
200 times.
200 times.
200.
Gee,
it's a big disaster.
You're just a little
off. Between the stupidity of Japan and the lack of cooperation from other countries, we have a big disaster in our hand. A lot of the fish in the Pacific Ocean is full of cesium and iodine and other radioactivity. It is a big disaster. We're not paying attention to it. Thank you, guys.
Thank
really
you.
Happy to use your show to educate people about something like the Fukushima incident, which is awful.
Thank you. Bye-bye. All right. Well, maybe I will start eating fast food. And let's see. Laurie, it's your turn.
Okay. So I have some what I think are interesting questions about, of course, China. The United States currently has 9 cities with 1 million or more. I might recuse these. How many cities in China have 1 million or more citizens? That's the first question. The United States, for comparison, has 9. China's the fourth largest country in the world by land, by square miles. What are the first 3? The east to west border in the United States is about the same as it is in China for the contiguous United States, and we have 4 time zones. How many time zones does China have? And the last is, in my introduction, I mentioned the fortune cookies are something they don't have in China. Where are the... Oh, no, I already asked. I put it in my introduction, so we'll just do the first three.
San Francisco, 1920.
Very good. Thank you for reading it. So the United States has 9 cities with 1 million more people. How many does China have? China's the 4th largest country in the world by square miles. What are the first three? And we have 4 time zones in the contiguous United States. How many does China decide to have?
So Russia, Canada, and...
Texas.
The U.S.?
Yes.
Okay.
Very good.
I'd say you have maybe 20 cities with a million or more?
More.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Well, considering they have over 1 billion people.
Yeah.
Most of them live in the cities now, I think. Okay.
So we're looking for how many time zones in China and how many cities over 1 million? It's more than 20.
All right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Judy in Berkeley.
Hi, Judy.
Hi, folks. Lori, I think I read it was like 100 cities with over 1 million people.
You read that, and it's more than that.
Okay,
wow.
But the number shocked me.
The number shocked me.
I could name about 2.
Yes.
All right. How about stolen authors? I'm going to guess Kurt Vonnegut.
No, you're in the right ballpark,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, I'm dating myself is what I'm
No,
doing.
But you're, I mean, chronologically, you're sort of around the right area, era, I should say.
Then Kerouac is probably wrong, too.
Kerouac is correct.
Oh, okay.
What?
Yeah.
People are stealing.
Can you name one quote he said?
No, this is stolen books.
Stolen books. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry, I got it mixed up. Yeah.
Okay,
As usual.
All I have tonight. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
I thought, geez, he's the most quoted guy in the OED.
No. Different question, Jerry. And let's see, next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Yeah, Paul in the city. Unfortunately, my question was answered, but I also have a question for you.
Okay.
This came to mind when the Triple Crown was going on a few months ago. There's about a 10-second piece of music the bugler blows before each race.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
You know, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
Yeah.
What, you know what the name of it is?
Whoa.
That's a good question.
Fanfare?
No.
Is it named after a person or a horse? Or a horse or anything?
It's definitely horse reference.
Equipoise.
Yeah, horse reference.
Equipoise.
on your mark?
No, but it is 3 words.
Oh. The starting gate.
Boots and saddle.
Whoa.
Boots and saddle.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, that makes sense.
Okay. Good question.
That's it.
Thank you.
Sounds like an old Gene Autry song.
Yeah. I think it was, actually. All right. Jerry, here's something you probably will like. These are, it's about time. These are musicals, Broadway musicals that were based on straight Broadway plays. So I'm going to give you 4 musicals. Their origins were originally straight Broadway plays, okay? Or either a Broadway play. In one instance, it's a movie, more of a movie than a play. All right, so here we go. Number one, and let me go through the list. Number one, 110 in the Shade.
Mm-hmm.
Number 2, All About Us.
Mm.
Number 3, Robert and Elizabeth.
Mm.
Number 4, Walking Happy. And these are all Broadway musicals based on Broadway plays or possibly a film.
Well, 110 in the Shade was based on The Rainmaker.
All right, that's yours.
That was the only one I had a shot at.
I know Walking Happy as well. I don't know the others.
You could have my guess on Walking Happy.
All right, you can have Walking Happy.
Yeah. Hobson's Choice.
That's correct.
Wow.
Hobson's Choice.
With Norman Wisdom.
Yeah, right. So
I don't know the other two.
We're
Thanks.
Still looking for All About Us and Robert and Elizabeth.
So it's Robert and Elizabeth. Those about the Brownings?
You're on the right track.
Yes, very good. Yeah.
So what would it be based on?
The play.
The Browning version. No.
No. No, that's good, though.
And it's a musical?
Robert and Elizabeth is the musical, yeah.
What's
but
the
it's
original?
Based on the straight play.
Oh, I know. Flush on Wimple Street?
No, Flush is the name of the dog.
I know, but there was
the Barretts of
Wimpole. The Barretts of Wimpole Street.
but there was a book about the dog, Flush.
Yeah, no, this is not about the dog.
Okay. Okay.
Right, Robert and Elizabeth is the musical version of or adaption of the Barretts of Wimpole Street, yes. Okay.
All right.
So All About Us
all
is
about
the...
All About Us.
And All About Us is the an adaption of a Pulitzer Prize-winning play. Quite a well-known play that nobody does anymore because it's
no one does the play and no one does the musical.
It was quite an interesting play, but I don't hear of anybody doing it anymore.
I've never heard of the musical.
No, I didn't heard it either. Wow. It lasted one night, probably. Huh?
No, it did okay. Yeah, reasonably okay. And all right, you got most of those. All right, so I'll give you one other thing here. What is the most reproduced image of someone who never lived? In other words, what is the most reproduced image of someone who never lived?
Is this a stamp thing? Or
it's not a stamp thing.
Good.
Nothing to do with stamps.
Yeah.
Okay. The reproduced image of someone.
Presumably a person, like a character.
How about this? The Munches, the Scream. You know, the...
Oh, that's a good...
People who know what I'm doing.
That's good, yeah.
That's not it.
Santa Claus.
Yeah. Santa Macaulay Claus. Culkin. That's what
Santa Claus.
Oh.
No, yeah, that's also very good, but no.
Better, more Santa Clauses than the Scream.
Yeah.
So what is the most reproduced image of someone who never lived?
So more than Santa Claus?
More than Santa Claus,
Santa Claus,
yeah.
Too generic.
Yeah.
Wow. All right.
Yeah. And the number to join us is area code 415-841-4134. This is Minds Over Matter. At 415-841-4134. Our toll-free number is 866-798-8255 with a question or answer. What?
The questions that are still out there?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, thank you for reminding me. That's a good point. Yeah, Jerry, why don't you go ahead?
Okay. What is the biggest French-speaking city in the world? It is not Paris or Montreal. And, well, I had all these... fast food chain slogans. I'll run through them quickly. I'll give you the slogan. You give me the name of the chain, fast food chain. Eat up what you crave. Different is good. Do what tastes right. Gather around the good stuff. The fire's ready. We treat you right. And all American food.
Mm. And Lori.
And I have, how many cities in China have more than 1 million people? It was more than 20, and it's more than 100. And the United States has 4 time zones. China, which is about the same size, has how many?
All right. And I have a list of the 5 authors whose books are most frequently stolen in the United States. This list comes from independent bookstores across the U.S. So the 5 authors whose books are most frequently stolen. So far, we have one of them, which is Jack Kerouac. They're all American. They're all mostly fiction and fiction writers, and all 20th century.
And mostly dead.
And mostly dead. Yeah. Yeah, one of them is alive. The others are dead.
How about Philip K. Dick?
That's a good guess, but no, not Philip K. Dick. And there's the musical adaptions. There's only one left. All About Us is the adaption of a musical adaption of what Pulitzer Prize winning Broadway play? And what is the most reproduced image of someone who never lived? So I'm just looking for a character name, basically. So, okay. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Amelia from Berkeley.
Hi, Amelia.
I have 2 guesses for the authors.
Yes.
One would be Robert Heinlein.
That is a good guess, but no.
And the other would be Arthur Clarke.
No.
Oh, okay, thank you.
Thank you.
How about J.K. Rowling?
And they're all American.
Oh.
Okay.
Not J.K.
Yeah,
Rowling.
Not J.K. Rowling.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Peter in Lynn Park.
Hi, Peter.
For stolen authors, how about Hemingway?
Not Hemingway.
Stephen King?
No.
Okay. For French-speaking city, how about Kinshasa?
That's it.
Yeah, I knew it was in Africa.
That's very good.
Yeah.
Very good.
And I have a question.
Yes.
According to the Guinness Book of World Records, one film has the record for the longest first run at one cinema. I won't ask you the name of the film because you probably don't know it, but tell me where. It has been running since July 12, 1980.
Well, the one that ran...
Longest first run.
It's still playing since 1980?
Still playing in the same cinema since July 12, 1980.
It's still playing.
So it's not the Rocky Horror Picture Show?
No.
30 plus years. Yes. Is it outside the United States?
Yes.
Is it in Russia?
No.
Oh, this sounds familiar.
Wow.
Would it give it away if you told us the country?
That's all I'm expecting you to get.
That's what he wants.
Oh, that's all you want. Oh, okay, that's right. You don't want the name of the movie.
Yeah.
Is it patriotic in nature?
No.
Okay.
It's a film made in the language of the country it's in?
Yes.
1980. So it's been playing for, what, 34 years? Wow. All right.
So that would make it what year it came out then?
He said 1980.
Is 1980. Yeah.
Is it the life of somebody?
No. It's a romance.
Oh. Wow. It's a fictional film.
Yes.
It's a romance.
Is it Japan?
No.
1980.
Very close.
Oh, we're close. How about China?
China.
Yes.
All right. I should have known that. What is? Tell us more.
It's called The Romance of Lushan Mountain by Huang Zumu.
My favorite movie.
And it's become kind of a tradition because it's playing in a theater that's in a very romantic mountain resort. So, you know, people go on honeymoons there and they have to watch the movie.
Oh. Yeah. I was not there.
Next trip, go see it.
I will.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I think I saw it at the drive-in one.
Another romantic place to watch a movie.
Yes. And let's see, let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Andrew in Oakland.
Hi, Andrew.
And on the stolen authors,
yes.
I had Jack Kerouac. My other two guesses are Henry Miller and William Burroughs.
William Burroughs is correct.
Oh, good.
Yes, that is one.
Not Henry Miller, though.
Not Henry Miller, no.
Okay. I have a question.
Yes.
It's the name of an actor who's still alive and still working, who was in a film with Lionel Barrymore in 1949.
Still alive, still working, in a movie with Lionel Barrymore in 1949.
Yeah, was this actor a child with Barrymore?
Yes.
Is it a famous movie?
Well, I know it. So.
Oh, is it Dean Stockwell?
It is Dean.
Down to the Sea and Ships?
Down to the Sea and Ships.
Wow, yeah. Very nice.
With Richard Widmark.
Right. How old was Dean Stockwell then?
He was probably
12, I think.
10 or 10,
yeah,
12.
So he's 75. Yeah. A lot of people were working then. That's good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Bye.
Bye-bye. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Is that me?
It is you.
Okay, call from the Potato Hill.
Hi.
I don't know what the question was for the science fiction authors. But I have one answer. How about Isaac Asimov?
Not Isaac Asimov. Are you talking about the stolen authors?
No. The question was, people are giving science fiction answers. Well, I haven't been listening.
Oh, okay. No, I think what they came from is that I asked a question about the five authors whose books are most frequently stolen in the U.S.
Oh, no. I was thinking of proliferation.
Yeah, but
Isaac
none of them...
Asimov. Written on just about every subject under the sun.
That's true. He did. But none of them are science fiction authors. I mean, not...
Like 250 to 300 books out or something.
Right.
Okay, China has one time zone. They stretch it all the way across the country, even though there's like four time zones.
Excellent. That's completely good job. Right. One time zone for the entire country.
For problems in the western provinces. I've read that somewhere.
Yeah, well...
Also, China has... I thought they had between 20 and 40 million... 20 and 40 cities with more than a million, but maybe it's 120 to 140 somewhere in there.
It's 147 cities of a million people or more.
I'm aware I missed the one then.
Yeah, and there's another 20 that are in the 900,000, so
yeah,
they'll have a...
Yeah, I saw that figure, but I didn't remember it being 147. I thought it was like 29,
it
30
is.
Cities, 40 cities.
Very good.
Wow.
All right.
And no more questions left about China. Can get the country size was the easiest. Isn't Australia? Well, where's Australia then? Is that number five on the list?
I don't know. Is the biggest country after Russia, Canada, and United States?
Oh, probably.
China. Yeah, might be.
Five or six because it's a whole continent down there, and I don't know. You can overlay it over America, but then you've got Canada and Alaska. maybe it's the fur that forks the size of America.
No, I don't know. America. Well, thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.
All right, bye-bye. And Jerry, it's your turn, I think.
Okay, well, I've been waiting for you to get back, Lori, from China or wherever you were.
To get some sports in?
I have a two-part baseball question.
Oh, excellent.
Okay.
Dana, take a break. No, but Dana sometimes gets these.
Well, once in a while. Since the late 80s, California has produced the most baseball players. What state used to make that claim? That's part one. Part two, Derek Jeter recently surpassed Luis Aparicio for the shortstop with the second most ever games played, 2,583. Who is still in first place?
So is the shortstop answer Omar Vizquel?
It is.
There you go.
Excellent.
God. And Louis Aparicio, she knows, my all-time favorite baseball player.
Is he really?
He really was. He played for the White Sox,
in the
50s.
I remember,
And was from Venezuela, like Omar Vizquel, who played Giants, and was there on the day that Vizquel broke the record and hugged him. It was a great moment.
Was he really? Oh, he's still alive.
He's still alive. He's the chairman of athletics for the country of Venezuela, where they're both from. Uh-huh. All right, the most baseball players before California.
Yeah.
I'm going to guess Arizona or Florida.
No.
Oh no.
No.
Okay.
I'll guess Missouri.
Why?
Well, because I think a lot of baseball players came from.
You're guessing Missouri. I thought you were
from
saying.
The middle of the country.
It's the country with the third most Jews.
Yes.
Jerry's catching up on
Jews. Yeah.
No, that's an interesting guess, but no.
All right. It's not going to be Hawaii or Alaska. They both have very few.
Okay. No.
Okay, so I'm thinking of warm weather places that have a lot of college athletics, too.
But in the old days, they didn't necessarily come from any college athletic.
Necessarily a warm weather state.
Okay. All right. So then New York.
No.
All right. I'm going to leave that one out there.
Ohio.
No.
All right. They all produced a lot.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Kim in Hayes Valley.
Hi, Kim.
For the authors, I had Kerouac, and I was going to guess Philip K. Dick, but what about Thomas Pynchon?
No, it's kind of a good guess. No, not Thomas Pynchon.
F. Scott Fitzgerald?
Nope.
Okay, and for the fictional person who's been reproduced in images, is that Uncle Sam?
No, an excellent guess, but no, not
really
Uncle Sam.
Good guess.
All right, that's all I've got.
Thank you.
Thank you.
How about the Statue of Liberty, then?
No.
The fictional person.
I was thinking that this book would probably have to be very thin so you could hide it easily as you walked out of the
store. Well, not necessarily.
No, I know. Okay.
People are creative in the way they
probably steal mostly paperbacks, though, think of it that way.
Yeah.
Strunk and White's book on writing.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, is this me?
It is you.
Hi, this is Carmen from San Francisco.
Hi.
Hi, I had a couple guesses on the most reproduced fictional character. Is it Superman?
It is not Superman.
Oh, good guess.
Okay, and then on the authors, is it J.D. Salinger?
That's a good guess, but no, not J.D. Salinger.
Okay, that's all I have for today.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. Lori, you want to do something quick?
I do. Yeah, not a China question. I just learned this yesterday. So the famous song that Frank Sinatra recorded, Love and Marriage,
yes,
written by Jimmy Van Heusen,
right,
under what circumstances, for what production was it written, and who performed in that?
It was a musical version of Our Town with Frank Sinatra as a stage manager.
Yes.
Did you see that Jimmy Van Heusen documentary?
Did. Yeah.
So
I did not know there was a musical version, and Jimmy Van Heusen wrote Love and Marriage. Who else was in the cast?
Joanne Woodward.
Yes.
And Paul Newman.
Eva Marie Saint.
Oh, Eva Marie Saint.
Oh, it is Eva Marie Saint. You're right. Paul Newman. And then the daughter was played by the wonderful Shelley Fabre, who lives in the Bay Area, from the Donna Reed Show.
Yeah, I'd like to see that again. I don't know.
I think it's probably around.
In the documentary on Van Heusen, they had Sinatra being the stage manager singing Love and Marriage with people doing ballet in the background.
Right. Very good.
All right. That was quick.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Nick from the Castro.
Hi, Nick.
I have a possible answer to the author that's most stolen.
Yes.
Abby Hoffman, Steal This Book.
No. Everybody wants it to be that, but it's not that.
Such a good answer. Yeah.
So even that didn't make it a bestseller.
Yeah, really?
No, these are more traditional but well-known authors than that.
It can't be Proust.
Not Proust. No, they're all Americans.
Ah. Okay, thanks anyway. No more guesses.
All right, thank you, though.
Bye.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Ian from San Francisco.
Hello, you're on.
Hi, I have two guesses for the five possible most stolen fictional characters, rather books. So is it Charles Bukowski?
Yes, Charles Bukowski. Yes, that's number one.
I had a feeling about that one.
Same people stole all of these.
Kevin stole them all.
It's American, but he was actually born in Germany, so I don't know if that counts. But I think he was born of an American serviceman in Germany, though.
You're talking about Charles Bukowski.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. Well, he's mostly known as an American writer. So.
Right. Yeah. 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 No. I think it's the same. I think the same thing. And the other one is Raymond Carver.
Not Raymond Carver. No.
Nope. Okay. And for the fictional character most widely reproduced, is it Mickey Mouse?
It is Mickey Mouse. Yes.
Oh.
Yes.
Okay.
More than Santa Claus.
More than Santa Claus.
I think so.
Yeah.
Not anymore. I wouldn't.
Yeah. Yeah. You have to remember that there are 8,500 different products that have Mickey Mouse on it.
Really?
Wow.
Yes, over the years there have been, so.
For a guy who hasn't made a movie in a long time, that's pretty good.
Well, he gets a lot of residuals from the use of his image.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Appreciate it. Bye-bye. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Cynthia in the Richmond District.
Hi, Cynthia.
Yeah. I don't have any answers to the questions, but I do have a question myself.
All right.
What active actor currently performing in movies today saw the last public guillotine execution committed in France?
Dean Stockwell.
Yeah.
Wow. What year would that have been?
What year would that have been?
Yeah.
1937.
Whoa.
Okay.
And this person's still alive.
Still alive.
Still
and
acting.
Still active.
Is this person, this actor, French?
This actor is not French.
He's not French, but saw this anyway.
Is this actor American?
No, this actor is not American.
Oh, I know who it is.
You do?
No, I'm going to make a guess. I don't know, but I'm going to make a guess. Louise Rainier.
No.
He's 103 or something.
Bad.
Yeah. And is European.
Is this person male?
It is. Yeah, okay. It's a male.
And this person is English?
This person is English.
Okay. So, an English actor is still working.
Who's at least, what would it be? 80.
Pretty old.
More, 90.
Yeah.
Still working.
In films?
In films, yeah. Still very active.
Jeez. Angela Lansbury.
No.
That's good, yeah.
Is Michael Redgrave still on?
No.
No,
mm-mm.
Not Michael Redgrave, no.
But is it someone of that kind of caliber?
That kind of caliber. Okay. Well, yeah, he's like, got an interesting reputation. He wasn't always known for his great acting ability, but he's gotten more kudos in recent years.
Roger Moore.
No.
He's not old enough.
Sean Connery.
He's not old. They're not old enough.
Yeah. We give up.
You give up?
Yeah.
Christopher Lee.
Okay, yeah, he's
How did he happen to be at the guillotine?
Well, he happened to be working for the French Resistance at the time during that period. Yeah. Yeah, or not the French Resistance, that was before the war.
See,
but he was in France quite a lot prior to World War II, and then he eventually worked for the French
Resistance. Wow, interesting. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
All right.
I guess being a vampire, you live forever
I
or
guess
something.
So. Yeah. All right. Time to clean up here. What do we got?
Well, say to East to produce the most baseball players before California had that status is Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
And the country, we got Kinshasa. I don't think we have time to read all these. Maybe I'll wait. Nobody guessed anyway. Do we have time for the slogans?
Very, very quick.
Okay. Eat up is Quiznos.
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 Quiznos. To what you crave is White Castle, which I knew. Mm-hmm. Different is good is Arby's.
Nope.
Do what tastes right is Wendy's. Gather around the good stuff is Pizza Hut. The Fire's Ready is Dairy Queen. The Fire's Ready, Dairy Queen, that just makes sense. I'm sorry, that's Burger King. I'm sorry. We Treat You Right.
Call the insurance company.
We Treat You Right is Dairy Queen.
Yes.
And All American Food is A&W.
Right. You're going to get some stuff in the mail. All my questions are gone.
Okay. The Broadway musical All About Us was based on The Skin of Our Teeth, Thornton Wilder play.
Oh,
did you get that? Good for you.
Yeah.
And the five most frequently stolen authors or books by Charles Bukowski, William Burroughs, Paul Auster, Jack Kerouac, Dashiell Hammett.
Foster and Hammett.
Yeah. Paul Auster is the one that's still alive. If we didn't get to your call, we do apologize. Please remember that Minds Over Matter is here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Our panel tonight was author Jerry Nachman from Diablo Valley College, Lori Fisher. Thank you very much, Lori. I've been your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. So thanks to Kevin Vance for handling the board and phones. And above all, our thanks to you for taking the time to tune in and call. And have a great week, everybody. Please join us next Sunday at 7. Take care. Bye-bye.
You ain't wrong, you're right. If it ain't day, it's night. If you ain't sure, you might. It's gotta be this or that.